Welcome to the Spirit's Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
And we are mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. And on this show, we focus on education. And through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be talking to the Spirit Board about their observations of tribal imperialism. This is something that they've called it anyway, and all will become clear in a little while. But if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, the toll-free phone lines will be open, and the number in the US is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, and the number is 001-530-876-3222.
Hi. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book and Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As regular listeners will know, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England and has come to share the wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. We don't spend very long talking at the beginning of our shows because we try to save as much time as possible for the spirit world and Gregory Hay, who always has plenty to say. Unfortunately, I miss the show because most of the time I'm unconscious and because I'm the instrument. Anyway, I'll have to wait to hear the recorded show probably months later. So I'm going to pass you over to Sylvie and prepare to go into trance. Have a great show. Bye.
Thanks, Nick. Gregory is the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who are made up of scientific minds of all description, plus ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. Hopefully to understand the nature of our existence and help us to evaluate our lives differently. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. So it's not Mick passing the information from a non-physical entity. It's completely lights out for Mick, and welcome to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay. As Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And we also have our Akashic readings, our very popular Akashic readings, and we still have our reductions going on at the moment. It's so popular that people are taking advantage of this. So if you would like to go to our website at spirit-teaching.com and click onto the Akashic reading link to see if it's something that you would like to find out about. Basically, you will find out about your spirituality, any gifts of spirit that you have, who your guides are, and lots of information about your soul group and who your doorkeeper is and that sort of thing. So it's very interesting and apparently very, very unique. So do take a look at our website and find out more about it. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us.
With love and light and peace be upon you, dear friend.
Hi. So we're going to continue our little conversations about tribal imperialism. Would you like to just recap?
Yes, my dear
friend. For our listeners.
Of course. Tribal imperialism, what this really is talking about is the way in which human beings interact with one another and how they actually command power. What you have to understand as a physical being, particularly to do with intergenerational relationships, this is where sometimes the system of communication and morality as well, of course, breaks down to a certain extent. If you, as a parent, shall we say, taught your child to become a heathen, that's what it will be. If you teach your child to become a vegetarian, that's what it'll be. Until, of course, it makes other decisions later on in life. But generally, in the main, what you are producing here is, as a human being, in the ancestral form of it, you are producing the next part of the race. And when you interrelate with one another, what are the actual powers that are creating this relationship? What you are really doing, my dear friends, is that you are using your own power, perhaps, to overcome others. You are looking at other people's lives and saying, well, I need this situation because I want power over this person. So you set about claiming it, claiming their minds, perhaps. Maybe even what you are doing is you are using your conscious efforts in order to overcome another person or another person's view. Religions, these are what they do. They create tribal imperialism. So in other words, it's the way in which genetically human beings have tried to gain power over others in order perhaps to rule them or in order to do something else like that. Now, throughout the human history, we have thousands, hundreds of thousands of excerpts of tribal imperialism, the way in which, for example, tribal heritage grew up in Africa and one tribe became the slaves of others who became the masters. How this developed was quite simply to do with the mechanisms inherent within humanity itself. I'm not saying that it means that humanity is just at will to these energies, but that actually without control, humanity can simply run amok, which is, of course, what's happening at this very moment in time. So what you are dealing with, really and truthfully here, is that you have to look at the finer points of the relationships between people. If you, as a society, for example, are experiencing deep troughs of antagonism and negativity from new and future generations, it's not necessarily just purely because of the fact that they're spreading their wings and they're trying to discover what their parameters are. If you do not, in fact, instill in other children that you bring into the world what the moral parameters are, you are going to, unfortunately, unleash upon the rest of the population beasts of people. And that's how it happens, really. You may be a parent who perhaps beats a child, or you may close it into a cupboard or something like that, bring about some psychotic illness purely through your behavior toward them. Or it may be, quite simply, that you ignore them altogether and just let them run amok and have the time of their lives. Now, this does not mean to paint the fact, then, that children are inherently evil, either, much to the Catholic Church's dismay, I expect, because, in actual fact, it appears to be that as soon as they can, they will place their mark upon a child so as to protect it from evil. However, evil still lurks, apparently, and does so very well. And it's not to say that children have this inherent behavior with them, within them, but that actually what happens is it's usually grown up by activities of the parent, or if left unchecked by the parent, and it's not to do with their behavior, it's to do with other sibling rivalry behavior. It's to do with power games and situations that happen in their school life. It's to do with the way that they interact with whatever that they interact with. Now, last time, we talked about the way in which children actually behave themselves to do with their own rites of passage, and how it may be that, quite possibly, adults may have an influence over this. And the possibilities really are endless. So tribal imperialism covers all of these aspects of life, our interactions with one another, how, in fact, we may bring about, most certainly, very great details of energy and how exactly we interact with one another, and good or bad. So it's intrinsic upon the people's minds who listen to this program that what they try to do is bring about right thinking, responsibility, duty of care. That means duty of care to all things, not just human beings. Because the whole planet needs you. Just like we need sharks, just like we need whales, both in the spirit world and in the physical world. We need all of these energies because they are part of that which is God. They are part of the creation of all life. And if you decide for yourself that you don't want to have any of it, then what are you really truly going to do? If you just decide that human state is at the pinnacle of energy, of life in the physical world upon which you sit, does it mean to say that what you are really doing here is you are bringing energy to your world quite simply because you are deleting so many other beings, so many other creatures that actually depend upon your goodwill for their survival?
Oh, okay. That was a sudden end, Gregory. okay. Well, I know that we ended the program last week about talking about how you deal with certain situations in the spirit world, and we will go on to that a little later on.
Yes.
But a few things came to my mind, about how we become, how is it that we become so fixated, like, for instance, on tribal where sport is concerned, particularly actually in England, I have to say. I mean it is very violent.
Yes, and it becomes quite obsessive, compulsive, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes. It goes beyond just having a few drinks and let's get together and have a pizza and watch this game or whatever. I mean,
yes.
There is intense fighting and tribal gangs and everything like that.
Yes, and of course the other tribal behaviours are to do with painting the faces and all of that. I know, however, that it's not just linked to one particular game. It's actually something which is becoming very prevalent all over the planet, and it's to do with association. So you have human beings who actually congregate over one particular energy. It's their team, yes. But what is it really and truthfully is that it's showing the energy of one clan pitted against another clan. And it's exactly how wars used to be created. In fact, in a sense, it's like war by placebo, which means that what you're really doing is you are subjugating real live weapons for instead just simply kicking around a pig's bladder, as it used to be, into one person's side of the fence.
Hmm. Oh, joy, the thought of that, yes.
Or was it a sheep's bladder?
I don't know.
Yes, it may well have been a sheep, actually. Yes.
But, I mean, yes, but where does competitiveness turn into this violent sort of gang, well, just this feeling of you know, anger?
Well, really, the anger comes from, I believe it began with that, to do with disappointment at losing. So, in other words, you have human beings who become over-frustrated and boil up. Maybe they had a tendency to do that anyway, usually because of alcohol or something like that, that in actual fact tended to enlarge the problem and amplify it. And once that has been amplified into that state, that's not saying, of course, that I am against people painting up their faces in a certain tribal way or whatever, but I'm saying that if you bring it together with alcohol and with also with criminality, what you are really dealing with here is that certain kinds of fields of activity generally tend to generate attraction to criminality. That is really what's at work. And criminality comes about because of joy from that kind of union of energy, so that you have human beings who create a great deal of joy for themselves because of the pheromonic excess that their violence creates within them. So it actually will have nothing whatsoever to do with the game itself, but just will be a byproduct of it. So what you have to understand then is that this is a completely different element. It's as though you are attracting perhaps exactly the same kind of energy that used to be and still sometimes comes about during a particular other form of gathering. Music, I understand, used to be exactly the same thing. And certain kinds of music on your side of life, as we had witnessed, people who shaved their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And they shaved their heads and they walked around with knives. And they didn't only just beat themselves up or one another or whatever. I'm not saying that they beat themselves up. You understand? Quite literally, but that they beat one another up, really. They engaged in violence and anger and at their own frustration and also because of the fact that they thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes, but it's interesting that, for instance, in England, you've got the football and rugby, and in rugby, which is the actual game is a lot more violent than football, or it should be.
Yes.
Very rough and scary. The football game of football is the actual game that has the violence attached to it.
Yes.
With the supporters.
Yes.
And you don't get that in rugby supporters.
Yes, and yet it doesn't actually tend to happen so much upon the field, although I understand there's a thing called a foul. And that seems to happen rather a lot.
But they drink. Equally, there's a lot of alcohol consumed in watching both games.
Yes, so I understand. And yet, within one game, the game of rugby, it appears to be that even though there is a great deal of alcohol consumed, that if their team loses, they merely drown their sorrows in it.
Mm.
And it doesn't go any further.
Yeah, they don't beat anybody up because of it.
No, quite so. But that's actually because it is more of a, I suppose, a way of human beings genuinely trying to exert pressure over one another in a very physical way. Because it's such a physical contact sport, I understand, a physical contact game, that you observe, it means to say that most of that anxiety and distress actually occurs upon the playing of the game, whereas otherwise it tends to be more as though, not to say that one has any more dexterosity.
You just made that word up, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did, yes. Mm. I quite liked it, though. any more of that kind of energy than you would have perhaps kicking a ball or a pig's bladder.
Well, I don't know. I don't know because it's similar. I don't understand. I still can't say that I agree or I understand why.
Yes, quite so. I feel, incidentally, that what actually is the attraction is that in football, what you have
soccer,
is,
as they call it in the States.
Very well, yes. Well, you have... Yes, of course, because the other kind of football isn't that the one where everybody wears helmets
yes.
and padding?
Yes.
Yes, I understand that. Well, so then in English football, you have a situation where people really, it's an invited criminal element that takes part in that, whereas in the situation of rugby, it would not be tolerated. That, I feel, is the difference.
They would just probably just stop the game and...
Yes, quite so. That the criminality simply doesn't exist because it never existed.
But the British football fans, soccer fans, are renowned all over Europe, aren't they? All over the world, probably, for being tribal and violent. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, but as I'm saying, the violence actually stems from criminality, that is, groups who actually go there purely to carry that out.
Yeah.
And it has nothing whatsoever to do with the game itself.
Yeah, they do call rugby the gentleman's sport, don't they?
Yes, and that really is why it is that the criminality hasn't come into it, quite simply because it wouldn't be allowed. So it's partly, then, to do with the conditioning of allowing that kind of violence to materialise in the first place. Now, I am well aware that you will have it policed and all of that. But the point is that the energy is in knowing that the criminality is actually travelling to it, but not actually doing anything to stop it.
Mm.
So I suppose that really that is why it is that this has become such a big business affair. Really. Now, when you look then at other tribal situations, you are seeing, of course, that within different other kinds of games, you have different countries which compete, but they don't beat one another up. They don't exist to violence if one of their team loses. So it's quite a strange event. And yet, in many other terms and situations, you have simply elements where you have energies of one nation which have been defeated perhaps by conditions of both their own service within their own people, their own community. So, for example, you have a place like Burma, which politically is sterile, and it is governed by military means. And it's governed by military means of a people which is completely peaceful. So it's a people who are subjugated by a ruthless regime which then tries to maintain control by their own advantage. Because of the fact that they're already in power, then no one else can actually do anything about it. And of course, because of the fact that they don't have any oil or natural resources that the rest of the world wants, that they're quite happy to just allow it to happen. And that's part of the problem, really, as we were trying to address in the last program that we did on this subject. It appears to be that for most people, these kinds of energies continue to run their course, and that these situations continue to be failed to be dealt with. And they're not dealt with quite simply because even though there are overtures of certain countries saying, we are the world's policemen, and they'll quite happily go into a country where their oil is at risk, they are not happy to go into a country where humanity is at risk. And that has been exactly the same situation and reasoning for Burma, for places like Zimbabwe, for other countries, many, many other countries, to do where there were different juntas and organizations of military means which subjugated their populations. And all of these, and even systems where, for example, in Colombia, where the government was actually taken over by criminal beings. And that kind of behavior began to actually decimate their population themselves. So you have all of these different rules of fear, which is exactly the same as we had stressed out to do with how people behave in groups. And you have exactly the same thing in both America and Europe, where you are subject to various arms of tribal gang warfare. And this kind of behavior largely becomes apparent because of lack of parental control. It's all really down to that. And if you as a society allow teachers and teachers' assistants and all of that not to be able to bring about a stricter regime for the schools that children inhabit, go to, and that parents lack control over their children, particularly to do with their behavior, to do with certain situations, I know that many parents will say, I do not want anyone else to control my child except me, and then promptly sit on their hands when their child goes out of control. That is clearly a very big mistake for the rest of the society in which you live.
Anybody would like to join us with a question relating to our subject today, the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number is freephone 877-876-5227 and Canada is 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll free, but it's 001-530-876-3222 and you're listening to Spirit Work. Okay, what I was going to say actually was it's interesting, it's really funny. You know, people in England sort of think about America and the fact that households are allowed to have a gun. You know, I know you have to have a license for it, but you are, you know, guns are allowed in America. And, you know, if that was the case here, it would be absolute mayhem. In England, I think it since we've been here this last time, it's actually got a lot worse. So violent in places with gangs and that sort of thing. I mean, they have a knife amnesty every year in the UK, and I think they get in the region of over 100,000 knives just handed in. You're allowed to hand them in and not get questioned about it, which is very good. It gives people a chance to do that if they want to.
Yes.
You know, but I mean, as long as there's unsliced bread, there's going to be knives, I know. But some of these weapons are absolutely hideous because they show you pictures of them. But I mean, you know, if people in England had guns, I mean, I know there are guns, there are shootings, but it's so much harder and rarer, or more rare, is that word? That's bad English, wasn't it? do you know what I mean? So what do you think about this situation with guns?
Well, once again, as soon as a person picks up a gun or a knife, it means that they're going to use it. Sooner or later, they are going to use it. Period. So that's the intention in the mind. Please do not say, if you carry a knife or some other kind of weapon, that you're only using it to protect yourself. You have every intention to use it should the opportunity arise.
But what if you keep one at home? Not a knife, I mean, that's, you know, but what if you kept a gun at home and everybody understood that everybody kept a gun somewhere in the house? I mean, you know, is that any sort of deterrent?
Well, my dear friend, what is then to say if everyone, if every single being had a firearm like that, mm-hmm. then you could say, well, what then is stopping a criminal from taking their firearm that they have in their house and going out and actually
true.
Taking it onto the streets and using it?
Yeah, I know,
and
I know.
So what are you actually going to say, oh, well, in that case then, because of the fact that everyone has a firearm, that no one's actually going to use one? That's exactly the same as saying, well, if everyone had a nuclear bomb, that no one else then is going to use one because everyone has one.
Mm.
Well, it's just an excuse to have one.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to be devil's advocate here and cover everything. That you know, I mean, because the amount of knifings, stabbings that go on in England is just too too ridiculous. Absolutely.
Yes. So I understand. And but the reason why that goes, why that continues to happen, is, as I say, there is no control over those people in education. They are uneducated by and large, and what you have is what you get.
Mm.
What you put into a society is what you are going to get out. So if you fail a child, if you exclude it from school, if you even, and I know that this isn't something which is exclusive to do with a child who is uneducated. It, in fact, happens to even children who come from very good backgrounds, from people who have degrees and university understanding. And yet, still, it appears that they haven't touched the university of life. And quite simply, they have left their mind when they have carried such an object.
You hear people that don't allow their children to play with guns, you know, as in cops and robbers, you know, fake toy guns and that sort of, cowboys and Indians and, you know, that sort of thing. Is there anything in that? If they come from a respectable parenting family?
Well, it's difficult to say, quite simply because from our observations we have seen that some children will take it up and will carry out in their own imaginings, yes, and then it will become real. And yet others will simply morally understand that they that there is a line to be drawn. And it's whether that child has an inherent moral code or not. Now, moral codes are something then which are not inflicted upon somebody else. Perhaps in earlier times, that used to be the purpose of religion, to inflict one's moral code upon somebody else, to try to stem the flow of violence and aggravation that happened. However, what they were doing was subjugating one form of abuse to another. So it clearly did not work. And what you now have presently is the way in which certain religious values are moving sideways, and that you have people who actually use religion in order to become violent.
Well, I guess there's more people in the world, isn't there? So there's going to be more sexual offences, robbery, drugs,
of course,
violent crime, kidnapping, whatever. There's going to be more of all of it, really.
Yes, I suspect so. However, that trend will only continue so long as any society allows it to. If you continue this way of, for example, even in the subsequent sentencing and all of that, you are actually sending out completely mixed messages. You are, in fact, looking at violent crime and saying, well, yes, we should give that person life, but not actually mean it.
Yes,
no.
We talked about that last week.
Yes, quite so,
I didn't want to carry on.
Yes, exactly. But so life doesn't really mean life. It just means that that's what the sentence is called. It doesn't actually express what it means.
Yes. You know, but then we talk about the fact that these criminals, these people, actually would come out worse. They learn more violent things when they're in there than when they were out. So,
oh, quite so, yes.
So there has to be a change in that as well, doesn't there?
And yes,
in
absolutely.
How they're dealt with.
Yes, absolutely. But also there has to be a structural change in the way that a prison is run as well. Because clearly, if you are just using it as a breeding ground for more criminality, then it's in fact a foolish way to send a person who had committed one offence to train them to commit many others.
You see, I mean, we've spoken about this before, and how actually prisons need to be a more spiritual place. And I know we don't want to send these people to prison for a holiday, but
no.
Don't we need to turn them around, don't we?
Somehow, yes.
Somehow.
Yes, because otherwise, the point I'm making here is that otherwise, in the spirit world, we end up with all the criminals who have yet to change their minds. And criminality comes in many different forms and disguises. criminality comes not, I'm not talking about when you are using criminality in order to, which is then affecting materially, material possessions and that kind of situation. I'm talking about violence, whether that's violence to a human being, another human being, or violence to an animal. However that criminality tends to happen. What you are dealing with here is the morality code of that being. And what, after all, is the morality code? Is it something that you inherently believe in to do with something which was embedded within you as a physical being? Or is it to do with your spirituality? Many people decide that their sensitivity means purely and simply that they cannot stand violence and become completely passive. This is not a gene, it's not a genetic thing. Although I understand that some sections of people tend to be more harmonic and therefore more purified in a sense than other sectors. And it tends to be that it may flow in genetically families, to do with families, or it may be to do with certain specific enclaves of people. Now, if you actually took away the religious aspect of, shall we say, a certain monastic appearance, then you would oftentimes find that actually monks fight. They fight amongst themselves. And they get quite intolerant and quite belligerent with one another to do with their behavior and all of that. And so it's not actually to do with the necessarily to do with the moral responsibility of how that person really thinks, but is more to do with the way in which that person, in fact, affects change within their own energy field. So just because it's a monk doesn't mean to say it's a religiously beautified person. Just because it's a monk doesn't mean to say it's somebody who is spiritually enlightened either. Far from it. They're just an ordinary person dressed in a costume. If you are looking for someone who is divine, well, you just killed the last one 2,000 years ago. So that isn't going to happen, is it? And it appears to be that the way forward is that the field is still open to find someone who is still yet divine.
They're going to be sick in mind, though, aren't they? These people. Let's talk about the worst case scenario here. People who take life and that sort of thing.
Yes.
I mean, they're obviously sick in mind in some way or other, and I'm not saying that they need to be mollycoddled or anything by any stretch of the imagination. But if they are educated into a more spiritual way of being, you know, made to meditate and made to listen to maybe certain teachings and that sort of thing. I mean, that
yes.
would actually be torture for them anyway,
yes,
in a way.
I understand.
But you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, you know, that has to be a way forward, doesn't it, for your situation, for them going to the spirit world anyway?
I believe so, yes.
Well, most people would say, who cares if they rot in hell anyway, though, in the spirit world?
Well,
I know there's no hell, but...
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. Rot in their own minds,
yeah.
In their own consciousness.
Yeah.
That's the point, really. So if you have an integral negative being, that's where they're going to stay.
Mm.
And it's such... The reason why we're saying that it needs to be reversed is quite simply because the spirit who is coated in this extreme negativity is still beautiful and still a part of the purity of that which God is, or the creation of is. So it means to say that somehow this needs to be reshaped. This is a system which needs to be repaired and taken care of in a different way.
So you're saying it's like, that, you know, for our listeners, as an example, it's like when you... So you are a spirit, you have a physical life experience, and let's call that the coat that you wear when you're here.
Yes.
Is your physical coat, which is your conscious mind and all of that, your
yes.
thoughts. Okay.
So it's yes. either a beautiful coat or it becomes an ugly cake.
Exactly. And then when you go back to the spirit, so your spirit underneath all of that is always pure. It's just that
absolutely.
That person either becomes more in tune with their spirit,
yes,
and they have a beautiful coat, or they become a very negative person and actually an ugly coat, but and way far removed from being able to connect with their spirit.
Yes.
At all.
Yes.
So that is the person, that is their consciousness that is ugly, this murderer, say, for instance, like we're
yes.
talking about.
Yes.
So, okay. So, and then when they go back to the spirit world, they are still this, they haven't got the physical body, their physical coat anymore, but their consciousness is still this ugly thing.
Yes.
That is attached to their spirit, but their spirit is still way far removed from them and not accessible to them still.
That is true, and it's not accessible to them because they choose not to. It's a matter of choice. So if you have an extremely angry, negative being who has deflowered their beautiful spirit by coating it with an ugly, negative energy of their consciousness, it is still possible for that ugly consciousness to remedy their condition upon their beautiful, pure spirit.
Mm.
They may still make the step between their ugly consciousness and their beautiful spirit. And that usually is a time of great revelation and rejoicing on our side of life. But sadly, what tends to happen is that when you have human behavior now present in the physical life, and it's creating extreme and intensive negativity, what is then happening is that that negativity and negative behavior is encouraging other negativity from the spirit world, these beautiful, pure spirits in their ugly, negative consciousness of their physical life that they had when they were physical beings, they're attracted to it.
Mm.
And it's as simple as that.
Mm.
So they can continue to be negative. They don't have to make the effort then. They don't have to make the effort of actually wanting or deciding that they want to connect with their beautiful self. Quite simply because there is another negative energy upon the physical world of which they are closer
mm-hmm.
because they are a negative energy anyway, and their beats per second, their vibration intention
mm-hmm.
is of a lower vibration. So they are closer to the earth, whereas a person who is loving and beautiful and perfectly in touch with their pure, beautiful spirit and in fact is enhancing their spirit by their physical journey, that is a fast vibration and is far removed from the negative state. That doesn't mean to say that a beautiful person cannot become infected with a negative state. That is possible.
Hmm. So what happens to this consciousness who actually decides, I mean, what makes them decide that they want to get in touch with their spirit? It's almost like, I was too simplistic to say second thoughts.
Becoming aware that yes. it's a possibility.
So all of these spirits don't actually know.
It tends to be that they have become so negative that their mind has become, their consciousness has become distilled into that form of negativity. And so they become entrapped within it. It doesn't mean to say that they cannot get out, but they have to have the will to want to.
Right.
And to want to change, to become tired of the being that they are.
Okay. Presumably they don't want to change a lot of the time out of fear about what is
yes.
going to happen to them.
Absolutely so. Yes.
So, you know, even if they did have second thoughts about that, thinking about changing,
yes.
that would stop them from doing it.
Yes, and it's part of the reason, my dear friend, why it is that for the many hundreds of years between 1130 up till approximately 1720,
mm-hmm.
that there have been all of these hundreds of thousands of beings who were consigned to hell by various different religious groups who never actually brought about any kind of healing toward that physical being they then sent on their way.
Okay, how do you mean? In what way?
In the way of perhaps to do with governments and religious groups who tortured people.
You mean in Europe?
I am talking about in both in Europe, in other countries whereby usually by Europeans who then set about enslaving other countries, in most part to do with Africa. The Congolese, for example, who were subjugated by... I'm just thinking, yes. That was to do with Belgium,
mm-hmm.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that what happened there was that millions of people were slaughtered for no other reason other than the fact that the Belgians wanted to get their hands upon the fabric of the place in which they lived.
And so these people... What made you say about from these dates in particular?
Because all of these situations, now the situation of the dates particularly that I picked out
mm-hmm.
was actually to do with the various different situations which arose from the first and, from the second and third crusades, from the situations of Catholicism as it spread throughout Europe and besieged those beings who were loving and caring towards the earth and toward other human beings. Namely, they were then called witches, or that they were it was just decided that they were witches and warlocks and all of that. And they didn't really know what they were talking about, of course, and that actually what it was that they were frightened of other people having their own understanding.
Yeah.
And in exactly the same way as they slaughtered hundreds of thousands of Mayans and many other cultures, and exactly the same that you have in the Americas, whereby most indigenous peoples were brought to their knees by European settlers in one way or another, either subjugated to mass violence, or however that happened.
Mm.
And it was usually by the Spanish, French, or English.
So me saying earlier on that things are a lot worse here, in fact they're not, are they?
It's just moving from one side of the part of the planet to another.
Well, and it's just that there's more people.
Yes, quite so. The concentrations are more exact, yes.
Yeah. So, okay, well let's go on to the spirit world then. How these people... Okay, so you have... Let's say you have a person here who wants to... He's a dark energy who wants to cause problems, negativity still, and they are dwelling in the lower astral levels, let's say, as
yes.
you were talking about, because the vibration is nearer.
Yes.
To for them to go to the spirit world, go to the light, to the spirit world, and I know we can't just send them to the light.
Yes.
They have to want to go. To do that, you're saying that's just the power of their thought and their will in wanting genuinely to do that, that will
yes.
raise their vibration.
Yes, and it has to be genuine, that's the point.
Well, yes, because you can't lie, can you?
No.
A lie would just...
Well, it would show up.
It would show up. Well, yes, but it would also mean that it wouldn't happen because...
Their vibration would not be lifted.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
The thought would not take them there.
Yes. So it actually has to be that they engage in the mechanic to do that in the first place.
Mm.
That's the point. It's not... And then it becomes automatic. You lift your thought and your reason for being and you raise your vibration as an act of doing that.
Mm.
It's really very simple. It's just that it seems that it has taken thousands of years for human beings to actually come to the conclusion that that's the way it works.
Okay, well, yes. So, in the spirit world, presumably these people are who are dwelling in that level are surrounded by other people of the same of the same ilk. So what do they think about? What do they think about? Do they think about a relative, a loved one, a happy time? Who do they think about? That Jesus or whoever it is that they want to be saved by now,
yes,
to confess to what? How do they go about it?
Yes, it used to be that, absolutely. And, of course, many will maintain that it still is. I understand all of that. And if that is the situation that you have to contrive these kinds of energies, then that will be it. The problem tends to be, however, that many people who cite this as a pathway still then carry on carrying out their negative behavior. It's in exactly the same way in accordance with people who used to, and don't forget, friend, I was a Roman Catholic in my physical life, so I am not someone who is backstabbing any one particular situation. But purely to say, if you have people who go to wish for forgiveness each week and then continue in their process of their road of recovery to continue their negative behavior, that is hardly going to admonish their negative behavior by asking for forgiveness once
a week. No, so I don't mean in that simplistic way, though, but I mean genuinely that they really did want to be forgiven and learn from somebody how they can progress from here and make amends and recompense for their life up to that point.
Yes.
So what do they do?
It's simply about behavior. Change your behavior, become somebody who is wanting to be giving toward others.
Mm-hmm.
In whatever way that manifests itself. It may be that this is something which is then carried out in silence, that you don't broadcast it, but you merely do it, act upon it. That is, in fact, the surest way in order to change your vibration, quite simply because it will mean that you yourself will know that you are doing the best that you can.
So a spirit who's stuck in that situation, who's had enough of it, who wants to move on,
yes,
actually just has to think that they want to do that strongly enough to, and then what would happen? Would somebody meet them, or would they find themselves automatically transported somewhere else?
Well, it will still actually take knowledge, and it will still take understanding. So one understanding doesn't necessarily beget another automatically. You have to work at it as a being, and that's exactly what these beings have to do. They have to work at it. Now, I know that we have oftentimes said that time does not exist in the spirit world, as surely it doesn't, except for those who still are locked within the time continuum of their physical life that they had upon the earth plane or upon any other physical state. And their time will be in the way that they manifested it, not in the way in which human beings have worked out what time is. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Because with humanity, it's only relative to the earth. It's not really relative to the rest of the universe, except for the fact that you've measured everything else by your own calculation, which happens to be at variance and in accordance with the earth plane and its rotation. So what you are doing is you are working out in mathematical formulas how to accommodate this or that energy, whereas in fact, in truth, what you are really doing is you are setting about trying to just become a better being and use your learning skills to accommodate these new energies. Then you find you have greater access. It's all about access at the end of the day. And what you would have experienced had you been an intensively negative being was very little of the spirit world. You wouldn't meet with your mother, father, sister, brother, because you are an intensive negative being. So all of those beings who created great dystoic energy and extreme aggravation in their physical life wouldn't meet their parents, wouldn't meet anybody else from their soul group, or any other energy, for that matter.
Because they've isolated themselves.
Yes.
in their lower vibration.
Absolutely, yes.
And so there would be, we've only got a minute left.
Yes.
But, so...
So if you can imagine then, for just one moment, what that must be like to be living with yourself and nobody else. Not a soul.
But don't they get together?
Well, sometimes they do, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they do. And they dwell within each other's negativity. And then it becomes a problem, of course. What we try to do is to keep all of these negative energies isolated.
Mm.
And just sometimes they manage to meet.
Mm.
It's as simple as that.
Okay, well, it's fascinating, isn't it? Really, I mean, we have to learn
every
end of the spectrum. I mean, we can't just always be talking about love, light, and fluffy things. So, we have to cover
absolutely
everything.
People, human beings, have to be aware of their own energy and where and how they can illuminate to lower vibrations or higher ones.
Mm.
It's necessary for humanity's survival and also for the survival of the planet.
Mm. Thank you, Gregory.
With love and light, blessings be upon your pathway, everyone.
God bless.
God bless.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more information about us. And my name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
$5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.